Nicholas Weiss of the Gertzberg Law Firm. How are you?
Hello, Alex Gertzberg of the Gertzberg Law Firm. I'm doing well.
Good. Nice to see you. Thank you for giving us some of your time here. We are going to talk weed law.
Good.
Nick, we're talking weed law today. Medical marijuana. I wonder if medical marijuana advocates like it being called weed law.
As far as I can tell, medical marijuana advocates are fine with all kind of disparaging comments on it. When I do some presentation, I tried to be called Professor Pot on this at one point. Thought that was funny. So.
You got to have a sense of humor about it. Just by way of background, I mean, Nick, you have been knee deep in medical marijuana legalization instruction topics. You're going to teach at the Cleveland School of Cannabis.
Yep, that's right. They're a great, fantastic new school. They're located in Independence. They are very new because, you know, they couldn't even teach on this subject until the law passed.
Right.
But they are providing a really necessary education for people who want to be employed in the industry, people who are trying to get into the industry,
right,
people trying to do business with the industry. So that's been nice.
Yeah, and you've given presentations to the COSI board on which I sit, to the Warrensville Heights Chamber of Commerce, and somehow you're still making time to be a full-time litigator here. for me, it's safe to say you know your stuff. So let's talk about what you know about drug policies in the workplace. Let's start there, and then we'll talk about doing business with medical marijuana businesses and getting into the business and what all that entails, with the understanding that we're going to do all of this in about 10 minutes. So very high level.
Got it.
Discussion.
I'm happy to talk nitty gritty with anyone who wants to, but we're not going to be able to do that today.
Right. All right. What's changed in the workplace, Nick, since the law went into effect?
What's changed in the workplace is basically you as an employer have a lot more space to move on your drug policies, on your drug enforcements, however that affects marijuana because of the new medical marijuana law. What I mean by that is there are a tremendous number of incentives for business to have a zero tolerance policy for drugs. And this is especially true prior to the medical marijuana law being passed. You get benefit with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, reduced rates there. It's simpler, it's easier. And so I think a lot of businesses, for the purposes of the lowest risk option, would just go for that route, there's zero tolerance. With new medical marijuana law, you have a little more leeway now. If you are a business that believes in the power and ability of medical marijuana to help people with qualifying medical disabilities, you have a lot of room to craft a drug policy that can accommodate people who are suffering from medical conditions, be that cancer, be that chronic pain, any of the other enumerated conditions.
So in other words, let me ask it this way. Can a business prevent its employees from using marijuana while on the job under the new law?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the new law is very specific about this as well. And this is for both recreational and medical marijuana. You can still have your zero tolerance policy. You can still have whatever drug policy you want when it comes to marijuana, and you can't be held liable for enforcing that policy. So long, and I always try to make this, I always try to stress this, as you enforce that policy consistently.
Right. So it would fall under any other, like civil rights action. If you're discriminating against somebody, the marijuana laws are not going to protect you. You're still liable under civil rights laws.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And specifically under any kind of disability law, be that the Ohio law, be the federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the Ohio Civil Rights Act. If you're doing this disparately, as you said, what an employee who's had some kind of adverse action taken against them, usually that's termination when we're talking drug violations, can say is this was a pretext.
Right.
These people don't actually have this policy. They enforce it on some people, but not other people. And then your really well-crafted policy isn't worth very much.
What about the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, can an employer prohibit someone from using marijuana when they're claiming that they need it as an accommodation for their disability?
Yes, absolutely. This is true under the ADA, the federal ADA, and under state law. Under the ADA, although this has been litigated a little bit, there are no exceptions, there are no carve-outs for any kind of Schedule I, Class I narcotic, which marijuana still is under federal law. Under the Controlled Substances Act, marijuana has no legitimate medical value. And because it has no legitimate medical value, it can't be held to be any kind of reasonable accommodation for someone suffering from even a legitimate disability.
Right. Okay, so employers have a lot of leeway. They should craft good policies that match their intentions. Before we go on to doing business with medical marijuana businesses, any other high-level bullet points that employers should know?
I think just on a high level, this is going to be, when crafting your drug policy, unless you are an incredibly risk-averse business, and it's no fault to you if you are, you have an opportunity to craft something that can fit in your business culture in accommodating people with actual medical conditions who are seeking a medicine to help them, a medicine that happens to be under federal law to be illegal. So if your culture, your company culture, is to accommodate something like that, really look into creating a drug policy that allows you to both enforce your regular prohibited drugs and alcohol at the workplace, but also give people who are suffering an outlet and a way to treat themselves.
All right. So now I'm a business and I sell widgets and I want to sell a widget to a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do I need to know?
You need to do, I'm sorry to say this, you need to do a really thorough doc review. You need to go through your
document review.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And I'll tell you why is, remember at the start of this, we said this is still illegal under federal law. If you are leasing office space, you probably have a clause in your lease, in your commercial lease, that says you can't have any kind of drug use. You can't contribute to the sale or transfer of drugs, anything like that in your commercial lease. You probably have a clause that's like that. This could implicate that clause.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have financing. You know, everyone needs financing. Everyone needs loans. Everyone needs investors.
Right.
A lot of those agreements contain prohibitions on you doing anything that could run afoul of the Controlled Substances Act, which would, under certain circumstances, include doing business with the medical marijuana community.
Hmm. So my selling my products and services to a dispensary, you're saying, could violate a covenant in my loan agreement.
That's 100% correct. And, you know, that's not going to be true all of the time. You're going to have to, unfortunately, look at this on a case-by-case basis,
right,
which is a pain.
Yeah.
But if you want to do business with this newly emerging market, and
right,
I think a lot of people are going to, especially as this gets
sure
up and running, you've got to make sure you're not breaching your own obligations.
Right. What else? What else should someone who wants to do business with, you know, a cultivator or processor or dispensary, what else should that business need to know?
Sure. In purely practical terms, you should be aware that there is not a good mechanism yet, although we're working on this, for financing people in the medical marijuana business. National banks, for the large part, won't get involved, won't touch them because they don't want their charter hurt. The Bank Secrecy Act, the federal law, prohibits any kind of lending institution from getting involved in the drug trade. These are under, ostensibly to prohibit money laundering, which is the main goal of the Banking Secrecy Act. So you should be aware of that. This isn't going to be, for a large part, doing business with a business that can, if they get in trouble, go out and get a loan and then pay you off. Just be aware of that, that finances for these guys, especially in the short term, are tight, and that might change in the future. But for right now, I advocate getting things in cash.
Let's step back, right? So medical marijuana is now totally legal in the state of Ohio?
Yeah, but let me clarify what that means. Medical marijuana is legal, but getting it is still very difficult. Mm-hmm. And if you have it now, it's probably illegal. and the reason for that is the mechanisms that we've set up to do all of this, for having our cultivators and our processors and our dispensaries and our physicians and our patients, they aren't set up. We have a goal and a deadline for September 8th to have all of these different mechanisms that are supposed to work together to get this product out to people who need it set up, and we're probably not going to make that deadline.
Got it. If one wanted to get into the medical marijuana business, what are their options? What are the categories of things that they can do?
Sure, absolutely. There are generally four categories. There are three that your business owner or your investor or whomever can get into, and the fourth is the physician side, and I can talk about that more.
Yeah.
But at the very top, you've got your cultivators. These are the people
growers
who are actually growing
right.
marijuana. Then below that, you have your processors. These are the people taking the plant and all parts of the plant and turning it into the different products. And then finally, you have your dispensaries. And these are your what will look, I think, at the end, like a small pharmacy. Unfortunately, right now, anyone who wants to get on any of those three levels is going to have to wait. The application period for these has closed, and I think the state is waiting to see what the results of the experiment is going to be before any new applications are opened up for this.
I presume that even if you're not a cultivator, processor, dispensary, or physician, you probably can be any number of ancillary businesses that I'm sure are going to sprout up in this economy, this new economy.
That's 100% correct. I've already been in contact with a few businesses that are trying to service the needs of yeah. these different groups. Cultivators need equipment. Processors right. Need trained individuals. All of these people need the general ancillary support
right.
that you need. So if you're providing HR support, if you're and anything like that, there are areas that you can get into where you can make money in this business really without being part of the business.
Right, right. All right. Well, folks can find you here if they go to GertzbergLaw.com and you click on professionals. You'll see Nick there, and when you click on Nick's name, you'll go to a page with his smiling face coming back at you, and you'll see things that Nick has published, and I think there's also a prior podcast that you did on there.
Yes, there
right?
is.
And there's a presentation. There's the Warrensville Heights presentation on medical marijuana that you did. Thank you for listening in, and thank you, Nick.
Yeah, no problem, Alex. Thanks.